every few weeks, we like to talk to people, or no, every week actually, we try to talk to people about their niche jobs. And I was thinking the other day while passing a hedge, nicely manicured, of course, who actually trims those hedges and where do they learn to do it? And when did hedges and topiary first emerge in gardens? Joining me is landscaper and toparist Julian Parry. Julian, welcome to National Weekend Evenings.
Good evening.
When and how did you get into horticulture? Where did you train?
I trained back in the UK. I started about 30 odd years ago, I first started working in people's back gardens, just gardening, and then I progressed into onto horticultural courses, and ended up at the Royal Horticultural Society in England that run the Chelsea Flower Show, I also got into arboriculture, which is basically just looking after trees.
Okay. What's it called, sorry?
Arboriculture.
Arboriculture, yep.
Yeah, and that's looking after trees. Then I decided to venture over to Australia. And so here I am. Mm-hmm. And 22 years later, wow. I'm still here.
And so is it toparist? To be honest, I hadn't come across this term. It's only recently come into my vocabulary, to be honest, when, you know, we're sort of talking about, I was like, I want to speak with someone who does hedging. And then I learned, the word topiary. What is topiary, Julian?
Well topiary, is, I suppose it's the manipulation or care of a particular plant and to make it into a particular shape. There's quite a history involved in this. Dating back hundreds of years, they used to trim hedges into funny shapes and into animals and things like that. That happens probably less frequently now. They shape hedges into animals, they certainly, you know, make some interesting shapes and to enhance a garden into a formal garden to get a different impact to a particular garden setting.
And it surely is just decorative, right? It doesn't really
serve
any sort of function.
No, other than aesthetic, it just has, you know, aesthetic appeal can add, just a bit more interest into a garden, really. Mm-hmm. So you do see it a bit in Australia, but you probably see it more frequently in Europe, which is where it originated from.
Yeah, was it the Romans that invented topiary, and we're going back into ancient times? Is that right?
Yeah, they did. They did.
They claimed to.
They did. Okay. I'd say I don't know too much about the Romans and what they did, but I think they started playing around with, you know, shaping plants into different shapes and so forth. I think it really came into its own probably about 400 or 500 years ago, with royal palaces and large state manors, they started playing around with these hedges. And, you know, there's some great landscape architects like Capability Brown used hedges and to enhance whatever they were trying to achieve in a landscape garden.
How popular has it been historically? I mean, you said 500 years, but how popular has it been historically? And is it now, I suppose, mainly sort of in English and European gardens over the centuries?
Yeah, look, it. I think it's probably, typically, I mean, there's some really well-known gardens, around the world, such as Versailles, which is, and several other French gardens that, have amazing you know, parterre gardens and hedging and they've really come up with some interesting things, but it does kind of add to the appeal of those stately gardens. The impact of that has definitely spread over to Australia. There's some really great hedging that happens over here. So a lot of the influences have spread over here, such as pleaching.
What's pleaching?
Pleaching, it's being with pleaching. So pleaching, you just, it's essentially, it's hedging, you have a clear stem underneath. So for instance, if you go to Paris, visit Paris, you'll see long avenues, beautiful avenues of hedges, massive hedges that are really trees, that may be 8 to 10 meters in height, maybe even more, that have clear stems underneath. So instead of the street trees being trees by themselves, they're actually hedges, and they're shaped into very, very long hedges, and those are called pleaches. Uh-huh. And another example of that is at Versailles, where they're just magnificent hedges that really just enhance the shapes that the landscape architect was trying to achieve.
Now, you've been in Australia, I think you mentioned, for 22 years, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Has hedging and topiary become more popular in that time? What do you think?
I think it probably coincides with people traveling abroad more frequently.
Okay.
And seeing what's there. Obviously, you're getting a lot of people from different countries coming here. They're well traveled and so forth. I think there's definitely an increase in that type of hedging. Also, as property values increase, people are prepared to spend more money on high maintenance things such as hedging and topiary. Mm. I think all those things kind of coincide with it, and it does kind of add a kind of a really stately kind of kind of wealthy kind of look to your property. It certainly adds to an appeal of any property.
You mentioned, and I mentioned this probably without even realizing, but you've sort of separated the two, hedging and topiary. So is there a difference?
Well, look, the two, it's a good question. Mm. The two kind of merge together. They are one in the same thing. But I suppose topiary would be just normal hedging is a simple form of topiary.
Okay.
Any hedging can be topiary. Once you start, playing around with different shapes and then that becomes, I suppose, more traditionally a topiary art form. You could get, for instance, multi-layered, wedding cake kind of shaped.
Right. So it gets
hedges.
Quite elaborate. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes very elaborate. Exactly. Exactly right.
If you have just joined us, you're with me, Serene Damaki, and I'm speaking with Julian Parry, horticulturist, landscape gardener and topiary specialist. We are talking about hedging and topiary. I have to just call out a couple of texts. So Tony on the text line says, "Hi, Serene, I have hedges which I manicure into rectangles and spheres. I use a petrol-driven hedger for the rectangular hedges and hedge shears for the spheres. I do want to get into the how with you in a little bit, Julian. But also I've got, I think it's Lisa who sent me a wonderful photo on the text line saying, growing my hedges so I can install elephants. And the image is... this is amazing. They are like these three. I wish you could see this actually, but it looks like there's two or three elephants kind of walking Well, they're obviously, you know, they're stationary, but they're behind each other, and it looks amazing.
Wow.
Thanks a lot for sending that image through.
Can you send me a copy as well?
I'm going to have to try and send you a copy. We'll try and have to find out if we can text this over to you to have a look. It's kind of, it looks really elaborate, really cool. Julian, what are a lot of Australians wanting in their gardens now? Is it the more formal style of garden? Is the more formal style of garden sort of back in vogue, do you think?
Or there's the very formal type of gardens you see, but I think the most interesting gardens are those that are, you know, both formal and informal. So there's a kind of it's almost a mixture of different textures that can be installed together. And that makes things really interesting. So you have free flowing foliage and flowers and then within that you have the more structured kind of hedging or topiary that can form part of the garden.
Wow. I think we've managed to just send that picture over to you of the elephants.
Okay.
You can have a quick
Just have a quick look. With me.
I'd love to, hear your thoughts. I think it looks wonderful.
Wow, that's impressive.
Isn't that impressive? Yeah. Well, you're the expert.
That is impressive. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Well, maybe Lisa should be on the phone, not me.
Good on you, Lisa. Thank you for sending that through. So then, maybe getting into the how a little bit. What sort of species or hedging plants make like good topiary? Can we use native Australian plants for hedging?
Yeah. Look, that's another good question. So, look, it depends on the temperature. So, you know, throughout Australia, you're going to get different types of hedges that are going to be suitable. But, through Victoria and New South Wales, you'd probably go for lily pillies, and there's lots of different types of lily pillies that you can use. Mm. I would say Moraes are very reliable plants that you can use. Very, very reliable plants. I think this is one of the other reasons why I think that, you know, topiaries are probably a little bit more common in Europe, is because some of the plants are more suitable and the climate's more suitable to topiary. So things like yew hedges are very, very good. And
what are
also small leafed privet, Ligustrum sinensis, which is, unfortunately, it does grow very well here, but it spreads very prolifically and is actually a real weed here. It's really not great, but it's a terrific hedging plant. It's probably the best hedging plant for topiary. Unfortunately, it's not friendly to Australia. I quite like a lot of the Australian hedging plants. So some of the types of lily pillies. So you've got Syzygium cascade, which is a terrific plant, but I prefer it to be more free flowing. It's got a lovely pink tips to it. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I think it really kind of ruins it kind of being kind of shaped. You can use conifers in your landscapes here. And they're good, but the problem is they do suffer from various diseases.
Okay.
And can start dying back. And then once that starts happening, then you're going to struggle.
Straight. Yeah.
That's right.
Julian, what climates best suit topiary and hedging?
Well, more temperate kind of climate. So, I mean, somewhere like probably the optimal location for topiary and hedging would be somewhere like Melbourne, Victoria, or Tasmania would be terrific, where it's just a little bit cooler.
Mm.
So just probably plants don't grow quite as quickly as you know, your semi-tropical, straight tropical areas of Australia, which the plants grow so quickly, and you know, it's just you're going to be trimming, you know, every other week.
All the time.
Yeah. So it's kind of probably better for the Melbourne kind of climates also. They just, you know, encourage, you know, you're able to grow a greater range of different plants there. So, yeah.
So how often does a hedge need to be trimmed and kept neat on average?
Yeah. So I normally advise clients that, you know, 2 or 3 times a year is fine.
Oh, wow.
But
really?
if you really want it to be top notch, there's some hedges that you'll need to trim, you know, probably 4 to 5 times a year.
It's not bad. So, yeah.
But if they're big, then it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, fair enough.
But like I've got Japanese box at my place, and they're trimmed about 8 times a year. And so, you know, that's a lot of upkeep. Mm. So it just depends on the, you know, the standards that you want to keep things up to.
How long would a decent size hedge take to grow? Let's take those elephants, Lisa's elephants, for example.
Yeah, hang on, I'm going to have a look at them.
Okay.
Find out what type of plant they are. See if I can work it out.
Having a look at Lisa's wonderful elephants.
I can't really tell.
That's all right.
Here, actually.
I don't think the quality of the photographs is good enough.
Sorry?
Yeah. No, I suppose, yeah, in general, how long?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying 2 to 3 times a year of trimming.
Plants. So there's some really quicker growing plants. So something like there's a plant called Zalosma centicosa, which is a common name, glossy Zalosma. I'm not sure if that helps people too much. That would grow quite quickly. So you would be able to start making shapes like that after probably about 5-6 years of growth, which is not bad.
Patience.
Yeah, that's quite quick.
Oh, is it?
quite quick. If you're looking at something like a Camellia japonica, you could be looking at about 50 years get to that kind of size.
It's a generational thing. Holy
moly. Absolutely. That's why you've got to look after your plants.
Wow.
You got to, but there's different plants. I mean, there's certain plants that will grow a lot quicker than that. So, so it's just,
wow.
Yeah. So you've got to know what plants to plant. In a particular
bit of know-how. So then it sounds like it would be worth, like if you're, you know, thinking of getting into this in some way, shape or form, good to do a little bit of homework or even attend, I don't know, some sort of course or something. But Julian, what sorts of designs have you done, and what comes to mind is something quite spectacular and interesting in terms of either like a design that you've worked on and where?
Yeah, look, I think probably a spherical kind of column with different parterre kind of layers coming down in a sphere all the way down the down a particular hedge. That was probably one of the most intricate hedges that I've ever worked on. As I said earlier on, you know, the multi-layered kind of hedges with different shapes. So, you know, typically you'd go for, 300 to 400 millimeter depth layers on each layer, and then finish off with a circular top. Or a square top or a triangular top on top.
Great.
Those are kind of more, and then you go into you can use vines and grow them on walls along wires. You can train them I think those are really quite interesting. So you can really make, you know, crisscrossed shapes with, for instance, star jasmine. That's really interesting.
Julian, It is quite the it's quite the art form, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave it there. We're getting close to the news. It's been so wonderful speaking with you. I have definitely learned something new every day, kind of day,
yeah,
kind of night for me. Thank you so much for your time and for taking us into this wonderful world of plants and hedging and topiary. Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. That was awesome. My guest has been horticulturalist, landscaper and topiary specialist Julian Parry from Arbor Pride in Sydney. Thanks again, Julian.